Hi, this is Mike McNamara, and you're listening to All Marine Radio on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
Now, I spoke with Kim a couple days ago, maybe Tuesday, and I was not sure whether he would call or come on. He's told me he was, but one never knows. And so I'm just going to play what happened this morning, and I was running my yap when my Skype thing rang, and here it is. Yeah, as you've heard, oh my God, you know what that is? That is this pitter-patter of somebody who I didn't actually think was going to call me today. Kimbo Slice Holmes, what is up?
How you doing, baby?
You were too loud, but hold on. Let me adjust that. I'm awesome, man. I can't believe you called. I thought you were going to tease me, not please me.
You know I always please you. That's what pisses me off. I can't ever say no to you.
Oh, my God. Well, no, I know your back is jacked, right? But that doesn't have anything to do with your mouth, man. I know this is mental health therapy for you, so I just wanted the people – and people ask me about you all the time, so say hello to all your friends.
Hello, everyone. The Big Bopper's back.
Whoa! Here you go.
Seen in my flying machine.
There you go. Well, so let's give us an update. You head faked the Grim Reaper again. Way back months ago, right when you had your
April 23rd, I had a quadruple bypass. That's four of those suckers, and. And then I had an ablation.
What's that?
About 2 months later, they tried to jumpstart my heart.
Oh, that was when you were out of rhythm, right?
Yeah, out of rhythm. And then they had to do the ablation and got me back in rhythm.
Now we're going into Kim's medical history, but this is yeah. So he says, yeah, man, my heart's out of rhythm, and which is not odd for a white guy, right? And so
just for this one, you've always known I was a white man trapped, a black man trapped in a white body.
So they brought you back and they put the paddles on you and everything got synced up. Yay. Hello. Somebody, it says you're on hold, man. Did you touch something on the screen? Hit the screen. Is that me? No, that's you. Kimbo. God damn it. Hold on. Shit. Let me tell you, Kim's got more lives. His real name should be Fritz the Cat, man. Because he dodges the Grim Reaper like no man I know. Uh-oh. That's what happens when you start... Hey, that's what happens when you start having fun. Shit. So... Oh! And we're back! Kim Holmes rejoins
us. We're back. I'm waiting for a package, so I'm sitting at the counter looking out at the beautiful, sunny, 20-degree weather.
Nice, nice. But it's a dry sunny.
It's a dry sunny heat. But yeah, I'm feeling better today.
So they put the
anyway.
Let me ask you a question. So they put they're going to put the paddles on. Do they knock you out when they do that, or are you awake?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. They have to because. I've been knocked out before, and I can still feel myself levitate from the bed. It's this last time they tried it four times. They got it back in rhythm, but they wanted to do the ablation just to make sure that he had to burn some veins and that was causing problems with making my heart beat irregularly. So, but that the fourth time they hit me, I felt it. I really did. I was under, but I went, oh, fuck. Excuse me, folks.
Oh, yeah, you know that. That
I don't remember saying
you,
that.
Yeah, you know that shocks us here, right?
Yeah.
The and so you got your rhythm back in step, yes?
Yes, sir.
But you now it's your back, right?
Yeah, that's always been a problem for a couple of years, but I've still been able to walk around with I use a cane, but it doesn't hinder my going anywhere.
So
or
you
sitting
can,
in the car and riding to Fargo or
so you can still get around. Do you have the stand-up wheelchair that walk around that you could put, you know, your scotch in and shit like that? Do you have that one?
What I have is the Bentley of walkers. It's made in Canada.
Oh.
Made out of titanium, weighs about 14 pounds.
Shit.
Has a cushion seat. You to put it in the back of my car, I just pick it up from the center of the seat, and it accordions together, and I just throw it in the back seat, or back of my James Bond car, and away I go.
Well, Kim, and Greg Lotus just jumped on with us, and so if your wheelchair is made in Canada, it's got to be the best wheelchair, right?
Oh, F and A.
Yeah,
it's really swank. It's not a wheelchair; it's a walker, but it sits up higher, and I just like it a lot, and I can get around. And now I was walking around the house without it today. And I'm feeling pretty.
Oh, really? You were without walker and cane or only cane?
Just walker.
Whoa.
I mean, nothing.
Oh, you were naked?
I'm always naked. Knew that. But I come in the house and the first thing I do is take my clothes off, for God's sake. Don't you?
Well, I'm in California though. That's problematic when it's 20 degrees out. So Greg, is everything that's made in Canada better than everything in the United States? Tell the truth.
Not even close.
Oh my God. I can't even believe
the only thing that's better are hockey pucks.
Oh.
Hockey sticks.
You can
then
go,
there's
what about Tim Hortons? Hey, what about chocolate in Canada?
Well, bar none. They Canadians are known for their chocolate for sure. Like,
okay. What about what's the Italian meat? It's got the thinly.
That's from Italy though, but they always have Italians, and especially at Thunder Bay. But it's mortadella, supersada.
Mortadella.
Then
we went up to Winnipeg. What's the Italian restaurant on Portillo?
It's called DeLuca's on Pembina. Yep.
Pembina. Yeah. DeLuca's. Yep. They have a meat selection in there that rivals anything that I've been in New York City.
Kim, do not encourage this behavior. Do you understand me?
No.
Well,
it's true. Look, where can you get?
Oh my God.
Mortadella is big around that it takes two people to carry a whole one that they had in Italy in every little deli. or not at every one of them, but you know, it's just fabulous.
But, well, yeah.
Loomis.
Wait, way to fuck that one up.
Yeah, I tell you what, though, Mac, that DeLuca's has a deli section that, without a doubt, they make their own sausages that are both fresh and then dried. But also, it has a bakery that makes bread three times a day because it's so popular. And then they have a cheese section where there's some from Italy, some only from Canada, and then there's world cheeses. So when you walk in there, the smell kind of hits you. And then they also serve lunch upstairs where it's all the Nonas, and they are all-you-could-eat pasta for $10.95.
Hold on, what's
with a salad and a bread.
What's a Nona? All the Nonas. What is that?
Grandmas.
Oh, all the grandmas are upstairs.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And they got the big pot, and one's stirring, and the other one's cutting all the garlic. It's a beautiful sight.
Yeah, it is. It is. Their cheese is, but the best cheese shop I've ever been in is Murray's on Bleecker Street in New York City. In the
Murray's is awesome. Yeah.
Murray's is the best.
I've never been to Murray's. The best cheese place I've ever been to is Cracker Barrel.
Oh my God.
Don't out yourself, Mac.
Hey, I'm not a hoity-doity rich guy. I'm a man of the people. You guys are like big.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
Thank you.
But that's what's funny. That's what's funny about this, Mac. What's funny about it is that the Italians and Polish and all are known for using every part of the animal that most rich white Americans throw away.
Oh, my God.
Same with cheeses.
Right. No, you're right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, no, one of the coolest things about this show, and now that Kim's on again, is talking about the history of food from the Caesar salad, right, Kim, to Menudo, to Bubba Schweigert, who's a friend of all of ours, eating chicken feet. I was like, eating chicken feet? What the fuck do you eat? Right? And so all that stuff, though, collard greens, I mean, all that stuff was the stuff that rich white folk or Western Europeans would not eat. And so, you know, you put enough butter and you cook it long enough and you throw some bacon and all the other things people did with it, and lo and behold, now you have a delicacy. And so, no.
Well, hey, right. Here's a question for you, Mac. Have you ever had braised coxcomb?
No.
You know what a coxcomb is, right?
I have no idea. I'm afraid to ask.
It's the top of the rooster's head. That flappy thing on the top of his head.
Yeah.
Is there nutritional value in that?
It is so tasty when done right. You wouldn't believe it.
Come on. What's that other French shit? Foie gras? What is that?
No, foie gras is expensive. It's liver. Yeah, liver of a goose or duck, but they're kind of force-fed, so they're bigger. And it is like meat candy. It's butter.
Yeah. You've had it. I've given you some.
Me?
Foie gras. Yeah, no. I didn't tell you it was.
You told me it. You told me
this neat little pate.
Yeah, you told me it was M&M's.
Licked your plate.
reduced.
That's the first time I've ever told you that.
Mac, here's some reduced M&M's. See how you like them. Oh shit, I love M&M's. You know,
in fact, Mac, last week Heather and I ordered out, and we went to Kim's old restaurant. It's now called Skies, but because we order the double order of the pate, and it comes with a selection of pickles and some crackers and stuff, but that pate is like liver pate, and it is so tasty and creamy. I just enjoy the shit out of it.
Really? Are you a pate guy? Yeah. I never liked the look of pate, and so I was kind of
the same recipe as it that I had, but they blend it longer, so it's not chunky at all. It's real smooth. And it's truly magnificent. It really is.
Why didn't you blend yours longer if it makes it taste good, Kim?
It's just I blended it, but it was kind of smooth, but you knew you were eating chicken liver, not pate. But
that's the case, Mac. That's the case where, again, they would throw out the livers and stuff, and with the correct spices and everything else and the preparation, it turns into a dish that, common folk can't even buy it because it's so expensive now.
I don't eat that kind of food. Let's just
everything.
What's that?
You eat everything, don't you?
Not so much anymore. I'm a little bit more disciplined. I used to be like a goat. I mean, I would eat anything that tastes good. Now I'm older. I have to be a little bit more disciplined relative to my diet because of my cholesterol and shit like that. And so I don't consume too much fish, beef or poultry during the week. I even eat that like vegetarian meat. I even eat that stuff.
So do I. And then they've made that a whole lot better.
Right.
But I'll tell you one of the things, talking to my son yesterday, I asked him how lunch was, and he said, "Oh, we had gyros and falafel and tahini sauce." And I said, "What?" And he said, "Yeah." And then I showed all my friends that have never tried that before, and they actually loved it. But they looked at him and said, "How did you become so cultured?" And Peyton just said, "My dad made us try everything."
And nobody believed it. Well, everybody would believe that. No, without a doubt. Everybody would believe that. But I want to know what you're eating. Now, Kim, now that you've got like four new valves, I mean, we haven't been able to talk about this, God damn it! But now that you have four new valves, like, what do you eat? Do you like
everything? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But, man.
Moderation.
Yeah. Here's the way my day flows food-wise.
Okay.
Today I had oatmeal with bananas in it. I put chop the bananas up and then cook it with the oatmeal, instant oatmeal, and a little milk. And then that was it. Now, today at lunch, I'm going to have a ham salad sandwich and a small portion of chips because I love potato chips.
What kind of chips?
The old kettle cook.
Kettle cook salt?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
and Beth.
Let me tell you, my favorite chip is Lay's yellow bag because there's so much fucking salt on those things, man. They taste so good.
The ones I get are low in, 90 per portion, low sodium compared to the other chips, but it's still high. But I don't eat them every day, and it's just when I do a sandwich once in a while.
Got it.
But she made yesterday some blueberry lemon muffins, which are so effing good. I almost fainted.
we don't say effing on this program, just so you know.
That's why I said effing.
No, we actually say the word, okay? So just for the record.
I mean,
don't insult my listeners.
It was fucking great. Like tomorrow,
Hold on. What do you have for dinner, though?
Well, I was getting to that.
Oh, sorry.
Dinner is at between 2 and 3 in the afternoon. That's my big meal of the day. Now, we're going to, tomorrow and Sunday, have tenderloin, roasted sliced tenderloin.
Oh, shit.
Oven roasted Brussels sprouts.
Oh, shit.
And a Caesar salad.
Oh, shit.
With Beth makes the best blue cheese dressing, a wedge salad, in the whole fucking world. Okay.
You know what? You sold me. I'm having a quadruple heart bypass. I want to eat like you. What the fuck,
yeah,
man?
Wait a minute. And then once in a while, she'll bake cookies or muffins, and I'll have a little something like that for my sweet tooth. But at dinner, like, I'll have a banana slice with one of those little 4-ounce cups of chopped fruit and about 6 ounces of milk, and that's it.
Whoa.
That's it.
All right, G-Lo, go. G-Lo, what is a large human being like you? What do you consume these days? First of all, how old are you?
I'm 76.
76. Kim has head faked the Grim Reaper more times. He has more lives than Fritz the Cat. He's amazing.
Pretty lucky cat.
Because the Grim Reaper is screaming his name, Holmes! And Kim, he's got you.
Exactly. I'm not ready yet.
He's not ready. So, G-Lo, how old are you?
47.
Whoa, you're getting up there with us. Welcome to the club, big boy.
Yep.
The 47, 6'7"?
Yeah.
Yep.
6'7", and Greg, I mean, he and his dad are gigantic human beings. So walk us through, what's a day of food consumption like?
Well, in the last, I don't know how long I've been really watching what I eat. So I've lost a lot of weight. I was up a ton, but now I'm down, and what I've been doing is walking laps in my house because of this whole COVID thing. I like you, have tried some of the vegetarian things. So, like for breakfast, I had an Ensure and then a high fiber little bar. And then for lunch, because I eat so early, I had a Lean Cuisine farmer's market pizza. And it comes like a little tiny individual pizza, and it's about 300 calories, but it's got lots of fiber. And then I take a couple pieces of Oscar Mayer turkey and eat a piece kind of with every quarter of it. But like yesterday I made cilantro lime coconut chicken for the kids and put it over cilantro lime rice. So that had a little spice to it. So we had this little chicken. The night before, I cooked ants on a hill, which are mung bean noodles with chicken stock, and then the ground pork. I put sambal chili paste with rice wine, some garlic, some cornstarch, and some other Japanese accoutrement that go with it. And then I put the mung beans in a little water to soften them up, and then add them and stir it all up. The kids love it. It's called Ants on a Hill. I got it from Alton Brand at the Food Network. So, yeah, and then good. tonight we're having a chuck roast that's going to sit in the crock pot with a packet of au jus and a packet of ranch and some water, and it'll sit there all day, and it'll be pull aparts on a bun.
Yeah, that's delicious. Good stuff. I it's interesting. I've been trying to lose weight, and I lost about 10 pounds, and I was trying to lose about 25. And then I kind of hit this plateau, and I thought, you know what? Why don't you sit down and actually think about how you're doing this? And I came to the conclusion that, you know what? I'm eating a large meal later on in the evening, and I'm starving in the afternoon, and then I wind up, you know, eating whatever the hell's in the cupboard. And so I do what Kim does. I eat the major meal, because it's just me when Colleen's not here. I eat my major meal between 2 and 4, depending on what I'm doing. But I get up and I have oatmeal and I eat a huge bowl of fruit. And so what I've tried not to do is, you know, don't starve yourself. You got to eat. What do you eat? And I have a question for both of you, a culinary question here. And then from there, I'll eat kind of a salad in the early afternoon. I tend to go work out. I take the dogs and go for about 3 miles, and then I'll come and I lift free weights. So I still do a fair amount. I lift about four times a week, and then I'll come in and I'll probably do a little bit more work, and then I'll eat, and I'll take like there's spicy that vegetarian sausage stuff that I like. There's also beef patties that I like, but the key thing is how you prepare it, right? The spices you put on it and whatnot. But what I've learned and what I've taken to is baking vegetables have become really, I really enjoy it. And I'll take vegetables. Last night it was broccoli and zucchini, and I'll, you know, put them in a bowl, and I'll toss olive oil, right? And then I take Montreal steak seasoning and I put it on the vegetables, and I love it. And so I would ask both of you, do you have any other way that you bake vegetables or prepare vegetables or any other, you know, whether it be Oriental condiments or any other condiments that you would use to make them good? Kim?
Well, we're doing Brussels sprouts, like I said, this weekend. And we're going to roast them in the oven, cut them in half, toss them in salt and pepper and olive oil. Put the cut side down, and maybe throw a little Parmesan cheese when they're in the oven, and then bake them for 25 minutes. I got to bring up one thing. My wife baked the cauliflower a couple of weeks ago, and it was out of this world. But she we ate it, part of it, for dinner, and then she made a cauliflower soup with homemade chicken stock and no cream or milk in it. And it was, because it was roasted, and it was out of this world. And we've done that with carrots and all kinds of veggies. And Beth makes bean soups that are just spectacular. And she only uses chicken stock that she makes. And, it's pretty cool.
Do you, your asparagus that you used to prepare at Sanders, that was just salt and pepper and olive oil, right?
And then just black pepper and Parmesan cheese. I wouldn't do salt. If somebody wanted to salt a lot of things I did, I didn't salt them, vegetables, and I'd put them on the table and I had salt and pepper shakers there.
And let me just tell you this. If you salt Kim's food before you taste it, all right, just duck, because you're going to get slapped across the face. You're going
to
get
slapped. That used to go pretty radical. At the end there, I just said, whatever.
Well, he was pretty butch in his early career, but like, what did I do? Have you tasted it? Like, no, but don't do that. Why don't you taste it first, stupid? I don't know. It's not.
Just try it. and it's not just salt. It's lots and lots of salt.
Right. Gilo, how about you? Bake vegetables, or where you do vegetables?
Yeah, you know, I'm a huge fan of baking vegetables, but my wife does something similar with Brussels sprouts, but I make a balsamic reduction. So when they get baked, with the olive oil, a little bit of salt and pepper, and then after that you toss them in this balsamic, so it's kind of got this tang to it. But I enjoy more grilled vegetables. Like, we'll take a head of cabbage or whatever and cut it into, like, big steak-sized pieces, and olive oil, salt and pepper, and I'm a huge fan of that Montreal steak spice as well. And then we'll grill the slabs of cabbage on the grill. And you, when you get that caramelization, it changes the flavors of vegetables immensely. And I've gotten my kids to buy in on a bunch of different vegetables. And we don't have the selection that you do in California, Mac. But, you know, there's a lot of things as far as zucchini with onions. And I'm a huge fan of parsnips, turnips. My wife, what she calls colon blow stew. She either has a tomato base or a brown base of the stew, and it's all homemade stocks. And then she puts in carrots and turnips and parsnips. And I mean, it is so, and hardly any potatoes. So it is so high in fiber, but yet the kids gobble it up because it's a soup base, and then they dunk a little bit of fresh baked bread in there. So if I had a choice, unless it's really, really cold, I have a unit where it has a bunch of holes in it, and it's shaped like a silver kind of bowl, but it has a flat bottom. And I put all the vegetables in there so I could constantly turn them without them spilling everywhere on the grill.
Wait a minute. I'm not over the name of it. Colon Blow Stew?
Yeah, that's what happens. Within a couple hours and the next day, the toilet paper is just a-rolling.
The lovely Heather Lotus from
Portal.
Portal, not Partial. My daughter-in-law is from Partial. Population, yeah. Like 1,123, and the home of a rock museum that they have out there. So what's Partial?
Yeah, Heather's,
what's Partial?
Heather's.
What's Portal? Well,
Portal was the population of Portal was 111 when I first got up there. So it's gotten down now. But I have a crazy story to tell you about Heather. Earlier this week, she went to the doctor's for a lady visit.
Yes.
And she got tested for the antibodies for COVID.
Yes.
And yesterday she found out that she has the antibodies, meaning that she had COVID sometime within the last month or two.
Ah.
Wow.
And so today I went to get my antibodies tested because I can't, if I don't have the antibodies, considering I live in the same house, sleep in the same bed, and the only time we can remember that we kind of felt a little bit not the same was a month and a half ago, where everyone in the house was kind of like a little bit down, but nothing, you know, I know COVID hits everybody differently, but the fact that she got tested and it came back positive for the antibodies is such great news that I had to go get tested.
And have you got the results?
No, I just, that's when you had called me. I was at the doctor's.
Got it.
So,
what about you?
So
Kim, let me ask you. I mean, you probably have been to the doctor more than any of us. What's that like in the age of COVID? I mean, I remember when you had your surgery, Beth couldn't even go in the hospital, right?
That's right. And now, I've had four tests. Before every procedure, they test you for COVID.
Right.
And I just had my recent one before my injections yesterday and always come back negative. Beth and I we just don't socialize because I know if I got it, that's it. And the Grim Reaper wins.
All that shucking and jiving for nothing.
Yeah, and so I've been real disciplined about staying home, and I go out, and Beth and I go out, and I get to ride around with her in the car, and when she goes in and shops and stuff like that. But we love where we live, so it's okay. But
yeah, well, I mean, why not? You live in the elite brownstones in downtown Grand Forks. I mean, come on. Everybody loves to be part of an elite community. Greg moved into one. He used to live out in the sticks, and he moved down to where all the big timers are.
Oh man, it's got a beautiful home.
Oh, tunned up.
Yard is.
Yep. Yep.
A small football field.
The reason why I can afford a house like this is because I'm eating all the leftovers from the rich white guys.
There you go. There you go. But you guys, you've experienced this, right? And that that is that as your kids get older, there's no leftovers, right?
No.
It's a joke. It's ridiculous.
Well, they have taken to putting their names on if they bring a to-go box from when they went out to eat. There's a name on it.
Do people respect the name if they're hungry?
There has been some instances where I got up in the middle of the night And the box fell on the floor, so, you know, it had to be thrown away, kind of. And so that was pretty, yeah, but there's been some battles. But I was just going to say, with Kim being in the hospital and stuff and being so disciplined and everything else, Mac, I'm the same way. Like, I'm at high risk now, being older, and I have atrial fibrillation, so I got to watch. So I'm going to be, like, so ready for when they call me and tell me the results of this thing, because even though you can get COVID twice, it'll still be okay for me.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing. And none of your kids have been tested or anything like that. I mean, your kids are going to school and doing their – well, Peyton, right? Peyton had it.
Well, Peyton had COVID. He had it. We dropped him off July 5th, for training camp. That was Sunday. And by Thursday, he tested positive after like a day or so of symptoms. And then he's been quarantined one other time because his suite mate tested positive. And that was after the 90 days of him having immunity. So that's why it's interesting. I don't, with all this stuff that I've read and listened to, how could I not have had COVID sitting or sleeping next to the woman, my wife, for all this time? And she's had it, obviously, with the antibodies. How could I not?
Well, you probably did.
Yeah. Well, I know, like I said, like, our kids hardly ever get sick. They played in the dirt till the day is long, and never washed hands or faces when they were little. Like, wash them off with the hose, maybe. But
they were nasty. Speaking of your kids, Peyton Lotus joins us now. Peyton, how are you today?
Oh,
what's that?
I'm doing pretty well.
Hold on. Let me get you plugged in here so we can hear your voice. So anyway, sorry about that. How are you doing, Peyton?
Good. I was just calling in to give my dad about a hard time because his microphone sucks so bad.
I know. It's brutal, isn't it?
Yeah, it's horrible.
I know. But so give us you're the only member of this little ensemble here today that has had COVID, unless your dad had it and didn't know it.
Is this better now? Is my microphone better?
I'm still mumbling.
I think he's being a little bit too critical, which kids are prone to do. So back off, Peyton.
Okay, I will a little bit.
All right. Tell us about having COVID.
It's the first couple of days were like the hardest with the symptoms, because I wasn't sure about if I had it or not. And my dad actually thought, he's like, I don't think you have it. So I got like tested just to make sure. I talked to like all the trainers and stuff, and I had to wait in my room. And by the time I got my results back, I was feeling perfectly normal. But then they said I had it, so then I had to wait another 10 days after that. But other than that, like, when I came back, the hardest part was, like, running and stuff like that because of all the conditioning. Like, I was in pretty good shape, like, before I got it, and then after I got it, it was tough recovering because, like, I had a shortness of breath. I had to be put on an inhaler, and it was pretty tough.
Were you surprised when your father's diagnosis was wrong?
Yeah. Well, he knows everything. So, I mean,
I know.
Wow.
We were talking about how everything in Canada is better than everything in the United States.
Oh, well, Mac, hold on. You're talking to a father who his son told me his thumb hurt from catching, being a catcher with a guy that threw some pretty good heat in Little League. And I said, oh, you're fine. And then come to find out a few days later after he had an x-ray that it was broken.
Well, at least we know he wasn't whining for no reason.
Yeah. See,
he doesn't always whine for no reason.
Oh, my. So do you. I mean, it goes both ways here.
Right.
I wonder where you're from.
Hey, Peyton, you're no – Kim Holmes is on with us. You were no stranger to his restaurant. Did you have a favorite at Sanders?
I've been there a couple times. What was the duck one? The burrito, was it the
Caribbean duck?
Yeah, that was probably one of my favorites.
That was, you used to have to call and reserve those, eh, Kim? Kim?
What's that?
You used to have to call and reserve ducks if you really wanted one, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Well, Mac, let me tell you how many things Caden doesn't remember, but the creme caramels and the chocolate decadence. He loved the creme caramel.
I think I like the chocolate decadence the best, though. That was
No, hey, Kim. Those were those Beth's creations, or did you guys find?
No, the creme was mine, and the chocolate decadence was Linda Evenson's.
Oh, no kidding!
And we did a little few changes, but with adding some liquor and stuff. But otherwise, that was it. Yeah. But the creme caramel, it's so easy to do.
I don't know. It looks. It doesn't look easy. It doesn't look like it. Some things you see and you think, you know, it looks like I could probably do that. And then the creme caramel doesn't look easy. I'm sorry,
Mac. I'm surprised that Peyton has time to call in because he's a college student, and with now that he plays on the football team. The amount of females that are all over him, I'm surprised he has time to call in.
Whoa.
Because I try to call him. I try to call him, then he more tries than he tries to call me. And he hardly answers me anymore. So it's like he's almost too busy for me now. Well, since I'm out of the house.
He
almost
I'll tell you what. He seems to be doing a lot of stuff with your brother. I mean, I'm glad you hopped on because he made sure Lawson got on this program. Hey, yeah. Mac, hold on. Lawson wants to talk to you. Lawson as smart as he sounds?
Yeah, I would say so. He's pretty smart.
Whoa. Well, it's a good thing you hopped on today, Peyton, because it's clear who your father's favorite is.
I know. And he's just a little baby, so he just gotta baby him and help him
a little more. We don't have to bring Olivia into this.
Olivia, the toughest Lotus. Other than Heather, right? The toughest Lotus, Olivia, takes shit from nobody.
Yeah, she. Yeah, that's true. But she's a baby, though. She doesn't get her way. It's
She burns it down. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, in the house, it's not good. But
the now, Kim, are you gonna be able to go to see UND football, watch Peyton play come spring when they're supposed to play?
Well, I'm hoping to, yeah. Right. I hope we have a vaccine by then, and then you damn right I will.
What kind of mask do you have?
I just have the standard hospital mask.
Oh, you do? That blue thing?
That blue thing, yeah.
Right. I got a black mask from Home Depot that has the... Has the adjustable things behind the ears. I like that mask. What kind of mask you got, Peyton? Do you got like a bunch of them? You know, depending on what girl you're trying to impress. Like, let me wear this mask. Like, what do you got? What do you got going?
I just got like a team. Like, they just gave a bunch of them to the team. So that's what I use right now.
What about you, Greg? What kind of mask you have?
I'm the standard one. I got given one by my wife, a couple of ones that she makes sure that they get washed on a regular basis. And, you know, when I come in out of the truck, you know, I put the hand sanitizer on. But today when I went to get tested for the antibodies, I got my flu shot because they said that's imperative this year. So everyone in our house so far has got the flu shot. And I don't know if Peyton has yet or not.
Yeah, but that's not important. Has Lawson had it?
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Yeah, Lawson has had it for sure. He was the first guy. I drove him there.
There you go. There you go. Hey, it all comes out, Peyton. It all comes out.
Sad. He won't say this to me, but he'll say it to you guys, though.
I know. Well, you never tell your kids the truth, right? You always just say, I love you. You know I love you. Peyton.
Yeah, that's you see, that sounds familiar.
Wow. I can't wait till next Friday to see who's gonna jump on. But you know what? The circle comes around. Next time Peyton gets interviewed, Well, that's if he ever plays. I mean, we'll see. But I know Lawson will be starting somewhere soon, so at least I can jump on his interview.
Let me just tell you what they better hope is that their mother doesn't jump on. Let me just tell you, if Olivia thinks she can burn it down, she has taken lessons from the master of the domain, and that is Heather Lotus.
Yes, right. She is.
Tough. Tough. And she's also one of the great front runners of all time. Every time a new team wins the NHL, like, she sends me a text, "Hey, Mac, how about my Lightning this year?" And I'm like, and I'm like, "What?" And then she's like, "Yeah, my boy Stamkos, he's getting his name on the cup. He played 3 shifts. He's good to go." I'm like, "Heather, what the hell?" It was the Blackhawks when they were good, and then the Wild made a run. And Zach's a very close family friend. And all of a sudden, Heather's like on the Wild train. And now she's on the Lightning train. So she tapes her ankles really well. So when she jumps off one bandwagon, she does not fracture anything. Hops right on the next one. But nobody to be messed with.
She's excited today because I think today is the day Peyton is coming over to grace us with his presence. So ooh. I'll have to take the crown off Lawson's head so he doesn't see it, and then that way he can sit in the couch. But we make him sit in the corner, you know.
Got it. I got a couple emails. Mac, are you going to do your Thanksgiving thing with Kim this year? I don't. That depends, Kim. Are we going to do Thanksgiving this year?
I thought so.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah, Thanksgiving, yes.
Well, I hope so. I've been yelling at Kim because I said, "Look, I don't care about your back." He told me, he's like, "God, my back's killing me." I said, "I don't care about your back. I care about your mouth." And so, so I shamed him into calling.
What a pal, huh, Greg?
Exactly. Well, but the best thing about Kim when he does Thanksgiving, it's recipes that are easy to follow but taste wicked. And you may not be able to have everybody over, but if you want to downsize something or make something different, he's got recipes up in his coconut that would make Thanksgiving easy. I know Peyton and our family's looking forward to Thanksgiving. We did have a plan a few weeks ago to have 10 of his teammates over, people that couldn't go home because of distance, but I think we're going to have to modify that a little bit, but we were prepared to make a few turkeys, but he wanted pierogies and cabbage rolls were a must for Thanksgiving for this house.
Oh, all of a sudden you move out and you're like, everybody's a short order cook? Hold on. I get the order when I come home. Here's another email. Hey, Mac, I know Canada celebrates Thanksgiving. Is there a difference on the menu relative to Canadian Thanksgiving? Greg?
The only difference is the ethnic food. Like for my Italian Nona, we'd always have turkey and stuffing and gravy, but we'd also have manicotte, and we'd have a couple of different soups that were Italian, you know, the vegetable, and then the pumpkin pie was still there. So, and if we go to my Baba's, she would have pickled herring and pierogi, petahe, galumpki, you know, different things like that that accompanied the major ones.
Got it. Here's a text message. Greg's mic is the shit! ! That's from John Lotus in somewhere in.
Tell my dad. Yeah. You know what?
Hey, John. How are you?
There's another guy that's probably scared to jump on because he gets crushed.
If you ever wanted to hear the funniest couple hours of radio, the lowdown Saturday morning on KNOX, Greg and his dad. My God. It was Patrick.
My dad's show prep for his NASCAR segment consisted of the morning of, because our show started at 6 in the morning, the morning of, he would print out the top 10 points for the NASCAR, and he would bring in that sheet of paper and say, "All right, we're going to do a NASCAR segment now." And that was it. Like, I knew nothing about NASCAR, and he'd get calls and whatever. And
oh my God. No,
it was the best.
And let me tell you, and he doesn't know anything about NASCAR, nothing, right? Other than he's got this sheet, and Greg's just beaking him the whole time.
And I would get emails during the week as the operations manager. Hey, Mac, really love the NASCAR segment. I'm like, it's not even a NASCAR segment. It's Greg's stand-up comedy routine as he just beats the shit out of his dad. And my son Patrick would come home, who would board up for it, and he'd say, oh, my God, I almost wet my pants today. Right? The Lotus family. The Lotus family live on the radio is like, it's too funny.
That was actually one of the best, when Dad moved here, the best time is like him and I on the radio just having fun, because we would take different calls for different things, but very often disagree. But I love spending that time with Dad.
What about driving out to the radio station in blizzards and shit like that?
When we had to have the door open because we couldn't see the road? Yeah, that was safe.
But did we turn around? No. That would have been the responsible thing to do. We kept driving and got there.
So hopefully Peyton will have his own radio show one day.
Yeah, him and Lawson. Peyton will be Peyton will be the charisma guy. Lawson will be the brains of it. Peyton, what's on your agenda today for a college student up in Grand Forks, North Dakota?
Just playing some video games right now.
Nice.
What's your go to video game?
Call of Duty.
Really?
Yeah, I play with a bunch of my buddies. We all play it. And then I got a meeting at 4 o'clock for O-line. And then tomorrow morning I have a meeting at 9, and that's about it.
So are you, is it for sure that you guys are going to play?
This year? As of right now, yeah. But it all depends on kind of like Christmas break and what's going to happen then, or how many people come back if they get it or not.
Oh, you know everybody's getting it over Christmas break. I mean, come on, it's horrible now. And then Christmas break's going to just make it worse. And then, you know, and then the people that ran Mitch Miller out of school, you think they're going to say, yeah, no, we're playing sports. It's not going to stop us.
Yeah, it's up. It's like all the coaches push for it, like really a lot. But like you can only do much.
You're right. You ever see the other guys that walk into the meeting with the coaches? You ever see those guys?
No.
Okay. Well, they don't look like coaches. They have like very round shoulders, big guts, and they look like they're really worried. And so, not exactly.
And those are the guys that tell the coaches what to do.
Yeah, and then there's one guy with a calculator, and that guy's the smart guy. But the guy with the calculator might look at him and say, if you don't play, you're going to lose a lot of money, both in football and basketball on those TV contracts. And without that money this year, you're really going to be in on it. And then they might look at him and say, these kids look healthy. Let's let them play. But it'll be the accountant that makes that. Kim, am I saying you run your own business? Am I lying about that?
Yeah, yeah. I'm so glad I'm not in my own business or any business right now.
Hey, Kim, well, let me ask you that. I mean, how are people surviving? I mean, you still know guys that are in that business. And how are people surviving in the hospitality business?
It's a struggle. You know, now they're getting real close, I think, shutting down the indoor seating. But people kind of figured it out with the takeout service. Right. That's what we do is takeout food. But it's tough now. I wouldn't want to be in it now.
But if you're doing the takeout thing, I mean, that's your cook, a couple of cooks, right? And a dishwasher, and you're just trying to make your mortgage payment right and cover your bills right there. But all the servers, they've got to go find other work, right? Try to.
Yeah, it's brutal. I just can't wait till this thing's figured out and the vaccine gets on the scene. Hal's not opening the steakhouse until there's a vaccine.
Yeah, well, I mean, come on. Why would
I've been working with him. You know, he hired me as a consultant, and that's fun. But that's about it.
All right, Peyton, what do you?
I was just going to say, look at Peyton, and he has to with his teammates go to Wilkerson and all those people that still have to go and provide meals. But I think, and Peyton can explain it better than me, that Wilkerson has kind of cut down on a lot of stuff that they offer. Am I right, Peyton?
Yeah, like you can't touch any of the food. They all dish it up for you, and there's like limited options. They don't have so like they don't like have as much variety as like when we went there like last December on our official visits. Like they don't have nearly as much of the same stuff, and you can't touch anything, and you have to wear a mask in there. Everything it's pretty crazy.
Peyton, so you get served the food. Do you take it and leave and go back to your room and eat your room? Where do you eat it?
You can, like, they have, like, a place where you can eat it there, and there's only, like, one person per table, but that's about it. Or you can take it back to your room and go eat it there if you want.
What do you do? Do you go back and eat it while you're playing Call of Duty?
No, I usually go with a bunch of my buddies, and we go just sit there and kind of distance and yell across the whole place.
Yeah, there you go. What
his Xbox controller is filled with like chicken finger grease and ranch and stuff like that, because you can be sure he took some stuff home, Mac.
No doubt. Here's a text question for you, Mac. What would Peyton say his joystick time is vice his study time? Do you have a proportion? Do you have your proportion, Peyton, in terms of? You know, 1 hour of joystick time would be equivalent to, like, 2 minutes of study time. How does your day break down like that?
Yeah, 5 to 1 sounds about right.
I would say it's probably – I don't play video games a lot on, like, the weekdays, only usually at night. We have to have – it's mandatory to have 6 hours of study table a week, so we do that. But I would probably say it's about equal.
Oh, 1 to 1.
Mac, it's one thing to lie. It's another thing to lie to yourself.
I know.
That's not lying to myself.
No, it's delusional. Look, we understand.
God is listening, son.
Right. And, hey, in the words of George Costanza, Jerry, it's not a lie if you believe it.
Exactly. Right?
Hey, this is how soft UND's getting, Mac. They voted this week if students want to just have pass or fail grades instead of a letter grade.
Of course. Like, why? Come on. We would earn something? And let me just tell you, I'll tell you, Colleen, every time, I mean, her grades keep going up. Like, she gets like a 92, and it's like a B+ or something like that, right? And then a week later, it's an A-, and then 2 weeks after that, it's like, I got straight A's. And I look at like...
It's COVID.
It is. It's COVID. And the teachers have just given up. They say that, like, kids take tests from home, right? But their older brothers and sisters take the tests. So everybody's an A student now. It's a beautiful thing. Kim, if you could do class from home and you have to look at a computer screen and you had your ESPN app, maybe a porn app up, would you learn anything?
Probably not.
Probably.
Anyway, that's why I cook.
I wouldn't learn shit, okay? Greg, how about you?
Oh, no, I hit the books hard when I was in college, and that was my first priority. So unlike my son, we didn't have video game consoles in our room that allowed us to watch the internet and Netflix and stuff like that. Disney Plus, he's got it all. So, I mean, really, he doesn't have to leave his room other than to eat. And sometimes when he's quarantined, they bring food to him. So he has a bathroom there. I mean, he's set.
You know, someday, Peyton, you'll be able to tell your kids about how hard it was when you went through the COVID disaster, right?
Yeah.
All right. Peyton, what's the hardest part of your life right now?
Probably practices and meetings.
That's the hardest part of your life?
Yeah.
Right.
Because we're like, we have like, our O-line coach, he's pretty intense. So we have meetings before practice at 6 a.m. So I'm up at like 5:10 usually and get there by 5:40 and get some of my stuff ready. And then we have rookies have to be on the field at 6:40 to do like extra drills. And then we have practice. Then we have meetings for like an hour and a half, hour 15 at like 4 usually.
So that's the hardest part of your day.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on, I got another email. Mac, it's been a while since I've heard Kim's voice. I just want to tell him how absolutely wonderful it is to hear his voice and him laughing on the program today. I hate that he's not on your show. Every Friday I tune in, and when I don't hear his voice, most of the time I shut it off, except since Greg has come on, I've really enjoyed meeting Greg, listening to his life story, and hearing your discussions with him. It's obviously you two are great friends, but I have a cooking question. I recently got a green egg. Could Kim review his instructions for making great steaks? And I'm a filet guy, so my steaks are a little bit thick, I would say between 2 to 2.5 inches most of the time. Welcome back, Kimbo. Great to hear your voice. Give me the love relative to cooking a filet. All right, Kim.
Green egg. For me, I've always cooked filets at a high temperature.
So a lot of charcoal.
Yeah. Whether it's, you know, whatever you use in your green egg, you want to get the heat up in there. And then you watch it, you know, and you leave it alone and use your thumb to press. The easier the thumb goes in, pressing the steak.
Okay, let me ask you a question now. When I mean, we've talked about this, and yeah. Greg, you're a propane guy, right? You have your grill's propane, right?
Yeah, well, we have the natural gas, you know, the hook up to the house.
Got it. So, if I'm
cooking a steak, though, I use a chimney starter and the same wood charcoal that they would use on a green egg.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Kim, are you with the filet, you said you cook it on high heat. Do you ever move it to indirect heat, or do you leave it over the high heat the whole time?
You want to get the crust on the top and the bottom. And you can. It depends how you like it. If you like it well done, you just get it crisp, and then move it on off heat. But you still have to check it, and you don't want to overcook it.
Right.
I like the high heat, and my, you know, I'm used to using my hands at the restaurant. Now talking about it in front of the virus. But, that's how I did it.
Okay, so high heat and you're just constantly using your thumb. I would tell you go buy a digital meat thermometer if you're not a chef.
I would too.
Right, and to me, because of the thickness of the steak,
yes.
Once you get it seared, you can move it over to indirect heat. But I will tell you this, it's a challenge. You got to make sure you got to have enough charcoal in. Otherwise, it's going to take you a half hour to cook a steak because of the thickness of the steak. So that to me is.
I'll tell you, Mac, that's one thing I'm really proud of. The kids, since they were old enough to start lighting the barbecue and stuff. But Peyton, I could give him a plate full of steaks and he'll go out there and say medium rare and mom wants it medium. And it'll be done to perfection every time.
Wow. Peyton, you have skills?
Yeah, it's because I learned from Kim.
Thank you.
Attaboy.
Grinding the beans today.
That's what I miss the most, is hanging out with Greg. And then the kids start coming into the house. It's the best. Absolutely the best. And
Max,
and,
the funny thing is, I even text Kim yesterday because something on TV reminded me of him. So I just texted him, hey, I was thinking about you, because we used to go once or twice a month to eat breakfast at Darcy's or lunch or whatever. But we haven't been able to do that now with his condition and COVID and a whole bunch of other things. But now he's back on the radio. So I'm glad to hear his voice too.
No, I do.
It's just one of the things. We've been friends since Greg and Heather were in school before they got married. They used to come upstairs at the original Sanders. And after the place closed down, and we'd hang out and have a few cocktails, usually it was Grand Marnier.
Yep.
Whoa, that's some serious shit.
So, I'm sad that Peyton won't be able to experience that because Kim's obviously retired and stuff, but I'm sure the dedication that guys like him and everyone showed, the support they showed to the football and hockey team, women's basketball and stuff like that, was immeasurable. And that's one of the great things about living in this community. And I think that's especially maybe one of the reasons why Peyton decided to come here. Although he said he wanted to, like, I think his exact words were, "I want to erase all memories of Greg Lotus and replace it with Peyton Lotus." I think that's what he said.
Yeah, that's great motivation, Peyton.
Is that too? Well, Peyton, first of all, you're welcome anytime you want to show up on Fridays and bag on your dad. That's always you're always welcome. So whenever you want to, feel free. All right,
I will sure be on more.
All right. Well, you're always welcome, man. And good luck with practice today, and stay safe.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Yeah,
good talking to you guys. No. I'll probably see you later, Papa.
Bye, right, bud. See ya.
Bye, son. I love you.
So,
hey, one thing I want to say for everyone out there, don't forget to thaw your turkeys in time to brine them. That's the key to the highway, folks. You got to brine that turkey.
Have
salt. You can put any herbs you want in there while it's brining overnight, at least 24 hours in the brine. And then you take it out and pat it dry, and you're ready to go.
So it makes a world of difference, that brine. And it doesn't have to be. Yeah. You can look up turkey brines on the internet, but Kim's right. I'm talking just salt, equal parts salt and brown sugar or regular sugar. And you can add aromatics like rosemary, thyme, and all that crap if you want. But I take out my turkey, and then with mine, I rub it down with a little bit of butter, and I stuff a couple things in the cavity, like a couple onions and whatnot. But I put it on 500 degrees for the first 25 minutes, and then turn it down to 225 for whatever it takes as far as the meat thermometer goes. But you've never eaten a more moist bird, and it's all the way around, white, dark meat, it doesn't matter. The skin is crispy, and I tent, after I do the 500 degrees, I tent the breast with some aluminum foil.
Right. Do you flip your bird?
Yeah, that's what I've done it,
yeah, absolutely. You know, turn it breast side down.
Right.
And I got the turkey rack in there. So depending on the size, sometimes I have Heather picks out the behemoth bird, like one that I don't know if it's on juice or steroids or what, but you get a 23 pound behemoth and it's like, holy shit, where am I going to put this?
Yeah. But I like it. The bottom of the turkey, crispy too. That's why I flip it.
Raise it, and you know, make sure you have it in the rack, and then you, Kim, you start yours out upside down, yes?
Yeah,
and then you flip it. But you flip it, tent it,
high heat like that, and then turn it down real low. As long as you have the bottom of the turkey off the pan, raised up a little bit, so it gets crisp too.
You know, Kim, you know, one of the things you've taught me that my ex-wife Susan was here and was actually impressed with something I told her, but we were having Thanksgiving dinner and, you know, and there wasn't enough juice from the turkey. And, you know, some of the juice hits the pan and will evaporate. And so one of the things Kim says is get chicken stock, right? And coat the bottom and get, I don't know, a quarter inch of it. And then the turkey drippings drip into that and they don't evaporate. And so I said, well, you don't have, and she said, well, that's why I have the gizzard. I said, well, if you put chicken broth, and she looked at me, she said, who told you that? She said, Kim told you that, didn't you? I said, no. I said, I just thought it up. Like while I was cooking my own turkey, I thought that would be a good idea. And she said, you're a liar. I said, of course Kim told me that, right? And she said, that's really smart. Because the gravy, you don't have to bail out the gravy, you know, with that dark, dark stuff that's dried on the bottom of the pan, right?
Yeah.
You get beautiful, like, kind of sage, a dark sage looking turkey gravy, which is, I think, turkey gravy is natural. And again, the one thing that is not fuckable about Thanksgiving is the gravy. If you fuck up the gravy, and Kim even has a great, you know, a great idea for that, and that is, you know, from someplace like Williams Sonoma or someplace, you know, buy a backup gravy. Because if you screw the gravy up, the meal is shit.
Yeah.
There, you can't bail out the meal.
And folks out there, when you're cooking your bird, when you put it in the oven, you might want to dump half a bottle of white wine in there, like a Riesling, which is a little more fruity. And then I stuff my birds with I take an apple and quarter it, an orange and quarter it, onion, celery, and a carrot. And that I don't stuff the cavity with dressing, but some people do. So you got your choice.
Yeah, just no celery. No celery. As long as you keep the celery out, you're good.
It's too difficult to cook a bird properly with when the cavity stuffed with the stuffing. They don't recommend it. I know the CDC doesn't. But the one thing I have to have with my Thanksgiving turkey meal is Ocean Spray cranberries. And I'm talking the jelly stuff, the one that makes the slurp coming out of the can. I don't want homemade cranberries. I don't give a shit what kind of recipe you have. I want the cheap-ass cranberries.
I'm the same way. I'm 100% the same way. All this, like, oh, this is my grandmother's, you know, cranberry relish recipe. Okay.
Don't care.
Take that and put it over there. Where's the slice jellied? And okay, I don't want to see this thinly sliced. The can maybe has three or four slices.
Oh.
Okay, hold on. Here's an email. Chef. Right. Great to hear Kim's voice today. Please play the Van Morrison music that I associate with the man, the myth, the chef. Hey, and listen to this. This is another email I got. It's from Films Tournelles. Right, and a French organization, and the guy's name is David. Hi, I'm David from Films de Tournelles. We found your contact when scouting for a chef. Would you be interested in talking to us? Please email if you are. So, Kim, there's international interest in you today. So, just so you know.
I'll be damned. That's very complimenting.
Greg actually went bilingual a few minutes ago. I don't know if you noticed that, but he went bilingual. Being Canadian, they can do shit like that. All right, boys.
Hey, I'm going to take off, Mac.
All right, big plans for the weekend, Gilo? Anything?
No. Olivia has a volleyball game tomorrow. So if she wins, she has a chance to go to state. If they lose, they're out. So, yeah, big volleyball match. So I'm going to wait and see if my results on COVID. If not, I just watch the stream and stay away from the crowds.
Got it. All right. Thank you, Greg. So, see you.
Take care, guys.
You bet.
All right. Bye-bye.
Take care, Greg. Good to hear your voice.
Have it. Kimmy, any big plans for the weekend? She just going to keep watching reruns of the World Series?
Yeah. Yeah, I keep playing that seventh game over again. No, or sixth game, whatever.
All of them. What the hell?
I'm just going to hang out here, and it's pretty cool.
Well, first of all, here's another email. Mac, hearing Kim's voice made my day today. Hearing Greg's son also was moderately amusing.
Yes.
And the other thing I'll tell you is you can certainly tell the familiarity and the affection you all have for each other simply by the way you guys laugh and tell stories. Your stories obviously go way back, and it's absolutely wonderful to hear Kim's voice again. Please give him my love and tell him thank you for sucking it up and coming on the radio. We have all missed him terribly. I didn't realize you had that many fans, for God's sakes.
I didn't either. I never, when we were doing the show here in town, I would never think anybody was listening to us. And then I said, oh, how wrong I was.
No, Kim used to
stir the pot every day of the week. And on Friday, we were on for 4 hours.
Right. And Kim, because of his restaurant, these people would listen and then come in and they would talk to him about what they had heard. And yeah. Quite the following. Quite the following Kim had. So anyway, well, first of all, please tell Miss B thank you for letting you call. Thank her for letting you call today. And yeah. I just want to say, hearing your voice is certainly medicine for me. And my Friday's obviously off to a great start. So thank you very much for hopping on today. We wish you all the best with your back. But as long as we have your mouth, good luck with your back.
Thank you. And I kind of think, I don't want to be too optimistic, but I've been walking around the house a little bit without anything, just my legs. And so I kind of hopefully optimistic about this.
All right,
that would be some great shit, man.
Well, I love it. As we head out the door.
Yeah.
Van the Man Morrison, who Kim
and
saw.
And you'll have a wonderful weekend, Mac.
No, I will. I will. It's good. It's supposed to be in the 70s out here. I don't want to make it feel bad, but
I love it when I hear that.
Yeah, but it's supposed to be. We've been down in like the 40s at night. It's been for California,
maybe.
Yeah, we're not made for the 40s, man. Our homes don't. My home doesn't have the insulation to do 40 degree weather. So, but anyway, it's going to hop up in the 70s, so it'll be nice. So it should be a nice weekend. And but again, no, the highlight of the day is obviously having you back on here for a while. So thank you very much for doing that.
My pleasure.
All right, my man.
Take care, everyone.
There you have it. The one and only Kimbo Slice. Now, to all the people that wrote, I mean, today, I mean, you're right. I mean, Greg has been a great friend of mine. Not a good friend, but these are friends, and Kim the same way. You call them in the middle of the night, if you say, I need your help, the next thing you hear is click, and they're grabbing their car keys and their wallet, and they're on their way. I mean, that's the kind of guy. I mean, and we've just been friends. And now 20 years since I met Kim, and through all of life's ups and downs, through all of that. And so, they're great human beings. And now, I mean, I met Peyton when he was a little guy, right? And he's calling in the program, and he's an offensive lineman at the University of North Dakota. Good God. He used to go in Kim's restaurant when he was like a little guy. And so that's how far we go back. So just a wonderful, wonderful day. And as you all, the same thing. Kim Holmes is a great guy. I would have people calling me asking for help on different projects. And I would say, hey, I want you to call a friend of mine because he would love to help too. And he's one of the people that on this planet gives. And that's why his life is as good as it has always been, because he gives. And he's that kind of guy. So, and I'm certainly proud to call both those guys my friends. So, but wonderful to hear his voice today. So, very cool. That'll do it. On a Friday. Have a great weekend. Most importantly, don't be afraid to change somebody's life. If you know somebody that's struggling, don't be afraid to look at them and say, hey, can I talk to you? And if you need me to talk to them, I'm more than happy to do that. If you need me to send you the links to post-traumatic winning so that you can change somebody's life, you know how to get a hold of me, right? All that contact information comes to my corporate headquarters, which is my fucking cell phone. That's right. That's the corporate headquarters, man. It comes straight to me. And I am more than happy to help anybody that you know, that you believe that, that I could help. And so it is one of the best parts of my life. And so don't be afraid to ask those questions. One, can I talk to you? Two, you know there's nothing wrong with you, right? You know that. That what you're going through is normal on this planet. And you can get through it. And I want to show you a path that will help you get through it. Right? And so if you're not afraid to say that, I'm going to tell you, you can do what I do, which is change people's lives on a daily basis. So don't be afraid to do that. It is the drug of choice, man. There is no drug like that one. And hopefully you'll become addicted to it like I am. And there's a lot of people that need help. So don't be afraid to do that. Anyway, on that note, we will see you on Monday. Next week, I think I'm doing post-traumatic winning all week. I hope I am. I haven't been told I'm not. So I'm hopeful. And which always is one of the great, they're great weeks in my life. As I said, I'm having a couple guys come up for lunch tomorrow that I met a week ago and whose lives have been filled with, you know, parents that are, that were drug users, and somehow or other these guys got through it. You know, parents that were physically abusive, and not in a corrective way, you know, which I would caveat, which my mother was. She spanked us, but I deserved every bit that Kathleen gave me, probably more. But there's people that don't know how to do that. And so so they'll be up, and next week's going to be just hopefully a really cool week for me. So anyway, this program starts again. I talk about things that bother me, and that is the, you know, half the country doesn't believe the election was valid. And I think the officials in those states where rules were changed for COVID, and I'm not bitching about losing. I'm okay with losing. Just show me the footnotes that say, okay, this is how everything was counted. This is why you can believe in those results, and then we'll go on. But I think there's a disturbing trend in this country relative to election laws. They get more and more watered down. It becomes easier and easier to have a margin of fraud in there that in a close election may change the results of the election. And I think it's incumbent on the officials in those states to show the American people that, no, you can believe in this. You can believe in this. So I want to applaud the state of Georgia that's doing that. They said, no, we will do a manual recount and we will find out if there was any software issues. We'll find out if we had any hardware issues, and we will put it in the storefront. To me, those are responsible public service servants that live up to their oath of office. And I just want to say God bless them. So we'll talk about that. We'll take about a 60-second break, and then if you hang in there, you'll hear a little bit of a guy named a Georgia representative by the name of Vernon Davis. You'll hear Justice Alito. You know, he rocked the boat a little bit last night talking about we're seeing an assault on the First Amendment, the likes of which we have not seen in a long, long time. So he spoke last night, and you'll see headlines about that throughout the news. So don't touch that dial. All Marine Radio continues right after this here on a Friday on the All Warrior Radio Network. Have a great weekend, everybody.